On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Wait, picture this. Summer, 1906. Long Island. You got this this wealthy family. Everything seems fine.
Right, until it isn't.
Exactly. Suddenly, their child gets incredibly sick. Raging fever, delirium. Just really bad.
And it doesn't stop there, does it?
No. Yeah. Soon after, the maid gets it. Same exact symptoms. Then the mother. It's spreading through the house.
A very clear focal point within that household. It wasn't random.
Not at all. And it was fast. Tragically, the child dies.
Wow.
The local doctors, they're, you know, scrambling. They land on bad oysters, food poisoning.
Which, I mean, given the understanding back then.
Yeah, it sounds plausible, right? So they disinfect the whole house, top to bottom, thinking, okay, problem solved.
A logical step based on what they thought was happening. Contamination. Clean it up.
But then barely 2 months pass. Different house, miles away. Another family.
Oh, no.
And it happens again. Same awful symptoms.
Yeah.
High fever, the confusion.
Yeah.
Another death. It's like this invisible thing is moving between homes.
Okay, now it's getting really suspicious. That's not just bad luck or coincidence anymore.
Definitely not. And it keeps going. It hits 7 different homes. 7.
7 households. Wow.
Across Long Island. By this point, 24 people have been infected. 3 people are dead.
And still no obvious link between them?
None. That's the crazy part. No shared parties, no common food source they could pinpoint, nothing obvious connecting these families. It's a total mystery.
Just imagine the fear in the community and the frustration for, you know, health officials. Where do you even start?
Well, that's where this guy George comes into the picture. He wasn't a doctor. He was a sanitation engineer.
Ah, so like looking at it from a different angle, infrastructure, environment.
Exactly. He starts digging into records most people wouldn't think to check. Household employment records, asking different questions.
Okay.
And he spots something, a name, the same name appearing in the work history of several of these affected households.
A servant.
A cook, actually.
A cook. Interesting. A single person linking these disparate outbreaks.
Yeah. And her pattern. Yeah. It's chilling, really. She'd worked for family for a short time, and then just before the illness broke out, she'd leave.
Every time.
Every single time. It just couldn't be chance. This woman was the common thread.
That is quite a finding. Suddenly, it's not just about the disease. It's about a person, a potential source.
So George tracks her down. He finds her working in another kitchen, new family, totally unaware.
And what was she like?
He walks in, and there she is, calmly slicing fruit. Looks perfectly healthy. No sign of sickness at all.
Just normal.
Completely. He explains why he's there, the pattern, the sickness, asks her if she'd be willing to provide samples for testing.
And her reaction.
Total dismissal.
Yeah.
Said she'd never been sick a day in her life. Refused.
Denial. Or maybe she genuinely didn't feel sick.
Hard to say. But then, poof, she disappears. Just vanishes.
Oh, come on.
Yep. New name, new town, gets a job with another family. And guess what?
The outbreaks start again.
They continue. The number of infected people keeps climbing. More people die. By the time they finally track her down again, it's way worse. Over 50 people sick. At least 3 more deaths linked to her.
This is staggering. The impact of this one individual, unknowingly or not.
Her real name was Mary Mallon, but history knows her by another name.
Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary. She goes down in history as the first asymptomatic carrier of typhoid fever identified in the United States.
Asymptomatic, that's the key, isn't it? She felt fine, looked fine.
Absolutely zero symptoms herself. Yet she was carrying Salmonella typhi and spreading it.
And spreading it how?
Through her cooking, handling food, preparing meals in those kitchens. That was the route of transmission.
Unbelievable. A perfectly healthy-seeming person acting as a vector for a deadly disease. That must have completely flipped the script for public health officials.
Totally. The authorities eventually made a really tough call. They quarantined her.
Where?
On an island. North Brother Island. Basically isolated for the rest of her life.
For how long?
Decades. She died there in 1938. And apparently, right up to the end, she insisted she'd done nothing wrong. Her last words were something like, "I only cooked. That's all I ever did."
Wow. What a story. It leaves you with so many questions.
It really does. Which brings us to the big debate, I guess. Was she a victim? A victim of, you know, the limited scientific understanding of her time.
I mean, the concept of someone being infectious without symptoms was revolutionary, almost unthinkable back then. They didn't have the tests, the framework to really grasp it easily. So from that angle, maybe she genuinely didn't understand how she could possibly be the cause.
Right. She felt fine. So how could she be making others sick? You can see how she might think it was persecution, maybe. Unfair isolation based on something she couldn't feel or see.
Exactly. Was the lifelong quarantine justified, given that lack of understanding, both hers and maybe even the broader medical communities initially?
But then, there's the other side. Her repeated denials, even when the pattern became so clear. Her running away, changing her name.
Yeah, that behavior doesn't exactly scream innocence or ignorance, does it? It suggests she might have known, on some level, that her presence was linked to this sickness, even if she didn't understand the why.
So was she complicit? Not necessarily meaning malicious intent, but
right.
Was she responsible through denial, through refusing to cooperate, through continuing to put others at risk by taking new cooking jobs? Could you call her, I don't know, death's accomplice in a way, even an unwitting one?
It's really complex. How much responsibility do you bear for consequences you don't fully understand, especially when you actively avoid finding out more? It's ethically murky. We can't know her true thoughts or level of awareness.
No, we can't. And it makes you think, doesn't it? If one asymptomatic person could cause so much devastation over a century ago, what about now?
Right. We have better sanitation, better medicine, better tracking.
Yeah.
Mostly focused on people who actually show symptoms.
But are we still potentially missing silent spreaders? People walking around feeling fine but carrying and transmitting? Well, anything. Could there be other Typhoid Marys out there for different diseases?
It's a really unsettling thought. Maybe, with all our focus on the visibly sick, we've sort of stopped looking as hard for the ones who aren't. Perhaps the carriers are still among us. We just don't always have the reason or the resources to find them until an outbreak forces our hand.
Maybe we just don't look for them in the same way anymore.